out of Kilpin in Ethiopia. And I know what I am talking about, because I used to be an Ethiopian. If it weren't for Twinkies and Ding Dong, I'd still be an Ethiopian. As an Ethiopian infant, my mom fed me with a bottle filled with Twinkies and Ding Dong. Twinkies are good for you and for me. The white cream contains vitamin C. Ding Dongs are highly nutritious. The two chocolate layers are kind of spicy.
There we go. The number 50 position, Twinkies and Ding Dongs. A classic. 412-621-WRCT cell phone number here. Zombo here. Oh, my gosh. 1220 already. Hey.
In the Bible where it says manna, it means Twinkies and Ding Dongs. Of course, the cloud that led the Israelites shaped like a ding dong. Oh yeah. Twinkies provide good insulation in your walls for your house. They can also make a great mattress or a couch. Oh yeah.
Hey, we made it to the end of Twinkies and Ding Dongs. Hot damn tamale! At the 49 slot, we got Zombie by the Cymbals. Yeah. Mmm. Yeah, and you might ask yourself, well, what makes this top 100? What makes this song so good? Why is this number 49? None of your damn business! That's what! None of your damn business!
Oh, A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad.
You've tuned into Pandemonium, a public affairs program with WSUT Pittsburgh. The opinions expressed on the show are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT or Carnegie Mellon University. Email comments or questions to WRCT Public Affairs PA at WRCT.org. And now, Pandemonium. Hello, my name is Thomas Garrison. I'm a math major, and I'm here interviewing Wes Pegden, professor of mathematics at CMU today. And my first question is, how do you choose problems to work on?
Oh, yeah, so that's a good question. So, math problems, I think, yeah, we come to them in different ways. I mean, sometimes there's a problem that people have been thinking about for decades. And it's been around for a long time that people have been curious about, and it's something that a lot of people want to solve. Other times you have a problem that you comes up in some sort of application, where it would help you solve something else, and so you start thinking about the problem that way. But a lot of times there's just problems were posed at some point and people got interested in them, and then they've been open problems for quite some time, and then it's this thing that people are interested in and understand.
Nice. Do you think about like math recreationally when you go home? Are you still thinking about math, or did it shut off?
Oh yeah, I think I think it's you spend a lot of time thinking about math. At unusual times when you're not really you're kind of always. Yeah, it's always sort of, at least in the mind, some problem that you're working on. Especially, if you're really close to something, or you feel like, or there's one little thing that you're trying to fix about some proof, then, it's hard to think about anything else.
Makes sense. What is your approach when you start a new problem? How do you start, I guess?
Oh, yeah, so, I mean, that depends a lot on the problem and also a lot on the person. Sometimes you're working in some field where where you've done a lot of work and you have a lot of tools that you're familiar with and a lot of techniques, and maybe just by the nature of the problem you have some ideas about how to get started, and there are similar problems that where you have some idea of how they were solved. And other times you're doing something completely new and it requires you to be much more exploratory and just sort of pursue a much more open-ended process of just sort of trying to get an understanding of what's going on without really knowing where that will lead you.
And how do you decide if you like need to like pull in other people, or do you usually like to work alone, or what?
That's an interesting question. I mean, sometimes I think a lot of times people decide to work together on something because they sort of encounter the problem together. They're already discussing something and then here's this thing that we've done. But other times, it can also happen that you're working on something and you think, well, this is something where I don't really know some technique or some, background that would be relevant here. Maybe so-and-so can help me with this. So I think both of those things happen. I think the social aspect of this is very real, and that sometimes just discussing things with people will lead to the idea of trying to work out some problem, and that those people will work on it together.
Got it. What's a problem you worked on that is easy to explain?
One problem that's in this category of things that come from some application that people are interested in is something related to political districting, right? So there's this topic of gerrymandering, political districting. So this is when the people that draw, for example, the congressional districting of Pennsylvania might carefully draw the districting to maximize the electoral advantage they get from that thing, right? So, for example, if the Republican legislature of Pennsylvania was, drawing the congressional districting in 2011, they might have drawn it to try to ensure that they get as many Republican seats as possible in the U.S. Congress in a delegation. Claims of gerrymandering are often litigated, right? So there are sometimes lawsuits asserting that, one political party has carefully drawn a political districting to maximize their advantage in this way. Now, when this happens, there's a court case and evidence is presented and judges have to decide whether or not this really happened, right? Did the political party really maximize their advantage? Did they really carefully draw these lines for some political goal? And so one thing that's funny about this is, right, I mean, if you think about this in the abstract, you're presented with one map, and the question is this map fair or not? And, of course, usually to think about whether something is fair, you'd want to have some comparison. And so this is where math can come into play. So in particular, the natural question that arises mathematically from this problem is how one can generate truly random partitions of a geometric shape. So, for example, that geometric shape could be a state. And by a geometric partition, we mean we want to divide the shape into a certain number of regions, each of which is a connected region, and each of which, in the case of a state districting, may have to have equal population in the state, and may have to satisfy some other geometric conditions. It's an example of a sampling problem, right? I have some complicated space, which is here the ways of dividing up a geometric shape into regions, and the problem is how can I generate a random sample from this space? So that's an example of something that we've done a lot of work on, and this is a good example of a problem that really came from an application, right? So there was this thing that people were discussing, which is how can we sort of get at the problem of evaluating these districtings, and that led to these natural questions about sampling.
Nice. And for problems like gerrymandering where it's applicable to the public or problems that aren't applicable to the public, how do you try to make it like accessible to people?
Yes. Okay. In the case of the math that was related to these gerrymandering problems, it's especially important because in particular, there's some court case and a judge has to kind of understand what's going on because they have to, use this as part of their framework to decide what to think about the case. In the case of gerrymandering, for that reason, I spent a lot of time thinking about how to frame the procedure that we developed in simple terms, and even giving analogies and different ways of thinking about it, just to make it accessible. I mean, certainly, I don't think that I would never expect the proof of the theorem to be something that the court could understand, but I at least wanted the statement of the theorem to be something the court could understand.
Right.
And I think that's something that we managed to do.
For less grounded in like application problem, do you still try to make it accessible, and how would you do that?
So I think a lot depends on the audience for the problem. I mean, sometimes you're working on a problem that is going to really be of most interest to, people working in some specialized field. And then, that's your target audience and you're really writing it for those people. And other times you're solving a problem that you hope will be that will have wider interest. I think you always think about who the audience is, and then you try to make what you're doing understandable and relatable to that audience. And who that audience is, can be very different from one math problem to another.
That makes a lot of sense. How or when did you know you wanted to do math?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. So I think I actually, as an undergraduate, so when I started as an undergrad, I wanted to do physics. And then I switched after a year to focusing on math. So the main reason is just that I think in high school in the United States, math is generally not taught very well in most schools. It's not really something we would call mathematics even, right? I mean, if you think about the highest level math class in many schools is some sort of, AP calculus class, which is really a class about learning to do calculations. It's not really learning to do proofs or to think about things in rigorous ways that are intricate. And so I think until I got to be an undergraduate, I didn't really have a good sense of what university level mathematics was. So I think it wasn't until I was an undergraduate that I really thought that I wanted to focus on math.
Makes sense. How has math changed the way you think?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, it's hard to know, right? I mean, I'm not sure how aware we all are our own thought, the trajectories of our own thought processes. But certainly, I think, you know, one way that we hope that math changes how we think is teaching us to be careful and cautious in our reasoning, and, you know, not make sort of unsupported leaps. There's one important lesson I think that math has to offer, which is, right, so if you're a math student at CMU, I think there should be at least one point in your class when you've seen your math professor be wrong about something.
Right.
Right. And I think this is an important lesson, right? So one thing I like about math is that there's no hiding from being wrong. And, right, a mistake is a mistake. And when something is not true, it's not true, and everybody can see it. And one thing that this should remind us of is that there is such a thing as really being wrong, and anybody can be wrong. So it suggests sort of a caution about appeals to authority, right? So just because somebody is a professor or an expert or whatever, everybody can make mistakes.
Right.
And somehow, as a student, you can see those mistakes, right? And so I think it reminds us of the power of thought, right? That you, as a thinking student, can see the professor making a mistake and can see that they made a mistake, and you can be right about that.
Right.
And somehow, so this is something that's really appealing about mathematics, is that it doesn't depend on hardly at all on appeals to the authority of the, you know, the leaders of the field, right?
Right.
That any person can who has experience can sort of work through and see whether something is actually true, whether a proof is correct, whether somebody's made a mistake. So I think that there's some value in that lesson more generally, that in particular for all of us, we should remember that being wrong is a real thing.
Right.
And sometimes it's us that are wrong. Yeah.
Some of us more often than others,
it's a real thing, and that, you know, just being an expert on something, doesn't mean that you can't be wrong about it. And we should always remember this about ourselves.
Right. Have you ever submitted a paper and had like a big mistake pointed out to you or anything of that kind?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. So I, after submitting a paper, I'm not sure about that. But certainly, I've written things down that I thought were right, and then later, you know, realized I had some problem with.
Yeah.
So thinking of good examples right now. But definitely this is something that happens, and it happens to everybody.
Right. What are you working on now? Is there a problem that you can explain in not too long?
Okay, well, one thing I can do is I can explain sort of in more detail how this the mathematics of these gerrymandering problems works, since I just touched on. So the basic, there the problem was how to sample, like how to generate good random samples from some from a set of geometric partitions of a shape. For example, that might be a state, and we want to divide that state into, let's say, 10 regions, all of which have roughly equal population, all of which are connected, and maybe we have some additional constraint that the shapes have to be nice in some way, like they can't, maybe the perimeter of the shapes can't be too large or something like that. And so how can I generate a random sample from this? So the basic tool here that gets used for a lot of problems like this is called a Markov chain. And a Markov chain is basically a random walk around any space. So for example, if you're, you know, in a city with a street grid, and you carry out a procedure where you, at every intersection, you roll a four-sided die to decide which direction to walk in. And you keep doing this over and over again so that you're taking a random walk around the city. That random walk that you're carrying out would be a Markov chain on the locations in the city, right? So over time, you would travel around the city, And if you did this for long enough, you would eventually be at an essentially random point of the city. And so the crucial point, the crucial property of a Markov chain, the reason why, so what the name means in mathematics, is that every step, what you decide to do next depends only on where you are and not where you came from. Right. So, for example, every time you get to an intersection, you roll a die and you can go in any direction, and it doesn't depend on sort of, you know, what you did 10 steps ago. Okay, and in any case, so a random walk like this can be done not just on a space like city streets, but on any space that you can define. And so what you can do for a problem like the districting problem is define a space which is the set of all possible partitions of the state into 10 regions of roughly equal population, which are nice in shape. So that's a huge space of possibilities, right? So to keep it from being infinite, let's imagine that the districting, the districts, so the partition classes, are built out of discrete building blocks. So maybe each one is a collection of voting precincts or something like that.
Right.
So that essentially we're partitioning a planar graph. And how do we define a random walk around this space? Well, you can imagine moving from one districting to another by making a small change to it. Like maybe I find a voting precinct on the boundary of two districts and I change which of those two districts it belongs to. And if I do that, then I've taken one step. I move from one choice of how to partition the state to another. And if I made that choice randomly, so if I had randomly chosen which precinct to change the membership of, then I would have taken a random step in this space.
Right.
And then by making a sequence of steps like this over and over again, I'm walking through this space of possible districts of the state, just like you're walking around the city if you're rolling this die at every intersection. And also, just like that, if I do this for long enough, I'll reach what's called a stationary, I'll become close to what's called a stationary distribution, where my location is random, and approximately it's random with a specific distribution that I can calculate.
Right.
And so it lets me get a handle on how to generate these random samples talking about. But there are all sorts of theoretical challenges with using Markov chains in a context like this. So, you know, one thing that I alluded to just now is that if I run this chain for long enough, for example, if I walk around the city for long enough, I'm at an essentially random location. Mm-hmm. And we know that that's true, but what we don't know in many cases is how long you have to do the walk for. So for the city, if I really have something like a square grid, on an example like this, you can prove something about what's called the mixing time, which is how long you have to run the walk before you're essentially random. But for the case of a districting problem, we don't know the mixing time rigorously. And so we don't know how long you have to run. We know that in principle, if I ran it for long enough, I would be in an approximately random state. But we don't actually know exactly how long that would take. And in particular, it could take exponentially long in the size of the state. What we do for this problem is we develop statistical techniques that allow us to make rigorous statements about whether districtings are outliers without answering this question of how long you would have to run to mix.
Yeah.
But this question of the mixing time of the chain is itself very interesting. And so this is one thing that we're thinking about now, is what we can say about generating random samples by getting at this question of how long you have to run, you know, through this districting space randomly before you're essentially at a random place. And again, the analogy is, how long do you have to walk around this city until you're at an essentially random place?
Cool. Do you ever spend any time on hard problems, like problems that haven't been solved for a long period of time?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, in some sense, certainly almost everything we work on is problems that haven't been solved. And yeah, sometimes it's problems that haven't been solved for a long time where you think there's a lot of interest and yeah, I mean, it's important to bounce these problems around. Otherwise, they would never get solved.
Right.
That's definitely something that we thought. I mean, it's a balance, right? Sometimes you're thinking about something that, you know, just caught your interest, and sometimes you're thinking about some, you know, big old problem that you've been wanting to solve for a long time.
Nice. What's your Erdős number?
Oh, good question. My Erdős number is 2, I guess. Yeah, so I have a co-author that was a co-author of Erdős.
Nice. For people who don't know, Erdős number is like your degrees of separation from Paul Erdős, who is a prolific mathematician, published like 1,700 papers or something. And if you published a paper with him, your number's 1. And if you've published a paper with someone who published a paper with hand me your numbers to, so on and so forth. And it's just something mathematicians brag about.
That's right.
Who are some of your who are some of the people you look up to in math, like an idol or a role model?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. So, I think yeah. So, one thing that I think is really impressive is the big historical advances that were made at a time when our understanding of math was much more in its infancy. So if you think about, right, the sort of the intellectual leaps that were made, for example, by the first discoverers of calculus, somehow, in some sense, what that took, it's not clear that sort of anything that we do now requires as much of an intellectual leap as what happened then, in part because mathematics itself, in some sense, didn't exist, right? We didn't really have a rigorous framework in which we, could develop mathematical theories. And so breakthroughs like that, I think are really quite, I think a lot about these historical examples of, what it took for somebody to break out of, the paradigm they were in and really get to, generate a lot of insight when there wasn't a good framework for doing that.
Right.
In some sense, now we've built up this, this whole intellectual system, which allows us to much more efficiently, develop insight about problems. And I think somehow, the really impressive thing is that we were kind of able to do this before we had that.
Right.
But it was much harder.
How do you foster interest in math among your students or younger mathematicians?
Question. I'm not sure I know the right answer to this. I think, what I hope that I do is project excitement about math, and that it's this interesting and fun thing that should captivate us. But I mean, maybe that's a question for you though. But, what is exciting students today about math?
Well, I think I'm different than most people. I like to state problems, and other people have a lot of trouble with this. But like, I'll see something on TV or watch a YouTube video, or the canonical example was I was like been looking at the bathroom tiling, and I was thinking like, how many ways could you like tile an M by M rectangle such that rotations and reflections are the same? And so that's a story that my friends always tell about me like figuring out a problem to solve. So I just see like math and everyday stuff, and I'm like, maybe this is an interesting problem, and some amount of the time it is. Maybe 80% of the time it's either been solved or it's not that interesting, but some of the time it comes up with some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this is certainly true for research math also, that the vast majority of problems we work on, we either we don't solve, right?
Right.
The joke is, we're failing to solve problems 100% of the time, but 100% isn't exactly right. There's a slight error.
Right.
100%, and that error is where everything happens, right? Every once in a while, we succeed. Yeah.
If you can't solve something and you need someone who you think is, I won't say smarter, but like more advanced than you, is there someone specific you like to bounce ideas off of?
So I don't know if most people have a person that they take problems to when they're stuck on. But I mean, there's this thing that we talked about before. Sometimes, there's, some problem where, there's some particular subject matter that you think might be relevant.
Right.
And so then you might ask somebody in that field, right? Like, is there some standard technique for this? Is there, and so certainly people do that, but then who you're asking depends on what kind of,
right.
What kind of problem you're thinking about.
Would you say your focus is like on solving problems or like building mathematical theory?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, ideally we're sometimes doing both, but I think for me somehow the day-to-day fun of math comes from solving problems.
Right.
But I like to solve problems where, for me, there's some, you know, bigger story about how they fit into, you know, what we're learning about.
Right.
How things work.
Have you been a professor long enough that you've seen some of your students, like, come and go into the, like, research fields of math as a professor or similar stuff?
Yeah. I have a graduate student who's a faculty member at Auburn University. This is the fun thing as a faculty member. You see, you have graduate students come through, and then they go on, and they have their own careers. Yeah.
Are you familiar with the idea of the book by Paul Erdős?
Yes, I am.
Do you feel like you've written any proofs that would make it into the book?
Ooh, I don't know. I feel like people shouldn't put their own proofs in the book. That's for somebody else to do.
For sure. For those who are listening, the book is an idea by Paul Erdős, and it's like all the world's most beautiful proofs are in there, and mathematicians just, if they're lucky, they get a little glimpse at it, and they get to write it down. And Paul Erdős would say, you don't have to believe in God, but you have to believe in the book.
Yeah, that's right. The idea is that somehow there's this collection of beautiful proofs, and we're trying to find them. It almost reminds me of you know, Michelangelo would supposedly say that he could already, you know, the statue was already in the marble, right? The
right.
Sculpture. And he was just removing the excess marble around it. It was already there. He was just revealing it. So yeah, similar sort of philosophy.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have kids?
I do, yeah.
Have you tried to teach some math to your kids, or how have you tried to inspire people with a much younger audience than your students?
Yeah, so I think for kids, there's all sorts of ways that math comes up, but one really simple way of, you know, engaging with math with kids is with, you know, various types of games, right? Like
right.
Even tic-tac-toe, right, for young kids is very mathematical, right? It's your first experience with a case study is trying to understand, right? Can I always beat the others in that tic-tac-toe?
Right.
And then there's all sorts of variations you can put in a tic-tac-toe, right? You can try to look at 4x4 tic-tac-toe. Is that the same? What about, you know, higher dimensions, right? You can
right.
draw a few tic-tac-toe boards so that you're really playing on a cube. And, I think that's a fun way of introducing other concepts, introducing sort of mathematical thinking younger kids. I mean, yeah, so at some point a while ago, I taught a program for middle schoolers over the summer. And there, the topic that that I used sort of as this vehicle to explore math was cryptography. So we learned about different encryption methods, you know, matrix ciphers, and you learn modular arithmetic, and then you know you learn public key cryptography, which introduces you to prime numbers and.
Right.
And things like that. And so, that's a really fun way to engage with medical topics for older kids. Yeah.
Does math run in your family? Like, was your dad interested in math or anyone you looked up to?
I think it's definitely a lot of people can say that, me included, can, you know, look in their family and see some people that had, a lot of interest in math, but I'd say there's also plenty of people that don't have that, sort of at the top of their field, and wouldn't point to any family members that for whom math was an important part of their life. So I think both of these things are really well represented in
that makes sense. Yeah. So my dad and grandfather both have a math degree. And so it seems that every like generation has a, like every, I don't know, two or maybe six people, one of them has studied, which is, I think, really bizarre.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's unusual, especially getting that far back in time. Math degrees weren't so common, right?
Yeah, right. So we're a much less famous Bernoulli family. And the Bernoullis were this famous family of mathematicians.
You've been listening to Pandemonium. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WSET or Carnegie Mellon University. Email comments or questions to WSET Public Affairs, pa@wsct.org. Thanks for listening to WSET.
Hey, Pittsburgh, this is Eric Harrison coming to you with a heart full of gratitude on WRCT Pittsburgh. Rock on, Yinzers.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
What makes a community vibrant? Welcoming public spaces in every neighborhood? Clean air and water for all our residents? Good jobs and a strong local business? What do all these have in common? Trees. If you support a healthy community and a thriving economy, you are an urban forest advocate. This is a message from the Sustainable Urban Forests Coalition, the U.S. Forest Service, and WRCT 88.3 FM. Help protect your family from flu this season by taking three easy steps. First, get yourself and your family a flu shot. It's quick and can protect you all season. Second, take everyday actions to help prevent the spread of germs like flu. Cover your cough, stay home from work or school if you're sick, and wash your hands often. Third, there are drugs that can treat flu illness. These work best when started early. Learn more at cdc.gov/fightflu.
Quero mais. Me sinto insegura eu beijando a tua boca. Eu farei voar pra fora do planeta. Colado em mim, te sentes feliz. Bebo teu vício, é o mel da minha boca. Eu em ti nova droga.
Vou te fazer voar para as estrelas e não vais querer voltar.
Tudo luar.
És bela e me fazes delirar.
Vou te fazer voar para as estrelas e não vais querer voltar.
Na luz do luar
ficas mais bela.
Vou te tocar como mais ninguém tocou. Vou te beijar como mais ninguém beijou. Vou te amar como mais ninguém amou. Vou te abraçar como
nós os dois debaixo dos lençóis, ouvindo a tua voz dizendo quero mais. E se quiseres aumento a toda velocidade e eu não vou poupar, eu sei que queres mais. Entre nós não há uma química, matemática, física, teu sentimento exato nunca me deixas na dúvida. E em quatro paredes faço de chegar à lua com mel da minha boca.
Oh, procuras onde a vês. Então vem cá, me encosta, vem tirar toda a minha roupa. Mas tu és a proprietária desta fortuna. Então vem cá, me encosta, vem tirar toda a minha roupa. Mas tu és a proprietária dessa fortuna. Tudo muda quando tu entras na minha vida, mulher. Deu mais brilho pra viver o nosso amor. Então me pega, não tem por que pensar. Quem vai sofrer comigo? Quem vai sofrer comigo? Eu vou gritar pro mundo ouvir que doença terminar.
Somebody like you. African boy, Mr. Ayabas. Ayabas. Echibi tukutula.
Bako chokula. Zomutima kuna.
Mwana kute kukula.
Kisale olelo. Nyakala kukuwa samanya.
Echibi tukutula.
Bako chokamba. Zomutima kuna.
Mwana kute kukula.
Kisale olelo. Nyakala kukuwa samanya.
Umande wanambe mbele yunga ninze Ukulinze mkoye wetula bambunze Nzunze chida biko mutima mpunde Eat, baby olimbie Obao ya gana mpite mabiga wanju Kufulu kutu kutunga ndi munda munju Seluwe na fimi ya kebendi ugondu Batafini wendu bidumba kuwa wandua
Kila mini kikuona ugweli minakona Sijuli ni loga Napenda situfunge noa mapenzi ya wepo Kukwana Mapenzi yako ya menipa oma
Kwenina bie bebe
Ebi kukamba na wanga vingola
Kwenina we mole Nambuba msangu Soko kwa galaku kuntu Kamu kungu Oya kwa nkubibu langu Kukunja kaluku Vira mubula mungu
kutula Bako chokula Zomutima kuna
Mwana kute kukula
Kisale olelo Kukuwa samanya
Echibitu kutula
Bako chokamba Zomutima kuna
Mwana kutu kuwira
Chisale ule Nyakala kukuwa samanya Oh, nawe fumba echitobero Siseyo jorye no ni mumbeo
Baby umabaya yesivya bikuluma Yesivya njala walide Serena kuwanga ya dae wakakulia kuya mchala wa Badibula kaya enoneka Chacha yogila kuwigambo vya enoneka Yachisa mune labu ya enoneka Kuwango resenta wana waganze nkobe Fulu figete wa enoneka Just tip bajo ya kutegerele Chiri Uganda mama nyavo Chiri Uganda kwata sevo Chiri Uganda mama nyavo Tonono na Uganda watatet Bwe Bwe, sawula bigo
Tonyono na
Baby, sawule bako
Amdemu ya yu
Degida mami
Tonyono na
Ngambe sakata bigo
Amdemu ya
Bwe, sawula bigo
Tonyono na
Baby, sawule bako
Amdemu ya yu
Degida mami
Tonyono na
Hile wanuko bigo bigo
Miau
Sente zeni nana zotezi
Tazimara
Habana wano na wawala
Balabu
Uwechimu wakusaba ma
Mana
Love mu Uganda
Business
Ti Uganda chitu nyumira Abana vechidongo nga bayo noneka Obasanga mchibalanga Banyumyo kufana henga nezo mwenge Bazi saba mkama Mbombo Fabichika ni wetu omela Mbombo Nevi binzi vi unya unya Jandi banga nebele Labi kanto no chokavu Wala jibu wala isi Woku woku foku woku foku woku foku
Nolino mpo mpula ime mi Aisha mpo
Sai wamenya na magumba Omutima bange waguamba Ofa bukunja chakwe obofa nukomba Yegope matende sunga
Iname hati baby nebuza
Na yechi tufemyo yegwa bimara
Wanda mutima bange kwe uva
Tonsalanga
basalamalan
Yate awazika tebebusa Teba malichi tufuchiri munda Katifetu vale kabebusa Agoba kungu wade kali naisa Chali accidentum Yonyumiza binyuma semerino Abasabanto kuru Urumu kwa nungonze tadeke nkokotu Iye Ebweba janga chokuru Uba formula ya salvado imbukuru Iye Ebweba janga kukolindo Uba kububa sanyamu like Ronaldo Baby would you be my eminado Uba binote mulisi
Kanzure
Baby,
don't
let me
Forget, I go make you no girl. You make her confess, I did love you, oh. I did love you, oh. I did love you, oh. Oh, oh. That, it be me and you. If another man try, I go kill him, oh. Or do be your, oh. If you don't know, I go kill him, oh. I go kill him, I go kiss and tell. For the party, baby, oh, I'm bad. Like the way you ring my bell. To my baby, I go dead. The way you ring my bell, so my baby I go dead. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Girl, I'm stuck on you. I got your love for you. When I tell him my love for you, try to go love me too. Girl, girl, I'm stuck on you. I got your love for you. When I tell him my love for you, try to go love me too. Wah, eh, eh.
I did for Ghana, I did you, Pelu Kevin boy. Girl, I need your loving. I'm a tenna, show me something. Show me, show my pongila.
And I pray, say, may nobody quench this fire. Yeah, say so many things that I wish tonight. Yeah. And I wanna know if you want to wait till the morning. She say, yeah. To me, she tell me say she no go lie to me. She tell me say she no go try cause me you. She tell me say she no go try cause me you. Oh, money let nobody toss you out. Say the money dey my mind, but my love for you pass this life for. Oh, whoa, whoa. Why not till morning? No, yeah. Whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, I been needing your love in the pop, 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 pop. Jacko, pop, 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 girl, show your mercy, girl, on me, so, oh, yeah. I be needing your love, you know, pop, 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 pop. Jacko, pop, 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 pop.
Oh, 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 oh.
She tell me when you leave, come back. She say nobody make a move like that. She say she want it from the night to the morning. I'm holding you face down when I push down back. Say how they give you what you need and you know it. Ain't nobody touch like that. She say nobody give a loving like that. She say she want me tonight, that's fair. She say yes to me. She tell me say she no go lie to me. She tell me say she no go try cause me you. She tell me say she no go try cause me you. Oh.
let nobody toss you out. Say the money they my mind, but my love for you pass this life for oh, whoa, whoa.
Why not till morning? No, yeah, whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, I've been needing your love in the pop, 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 pop. Yeah, go pop, 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 pop.
You're in the mix with DJ OC.
It's a group called OCBSA. Song is called Aiko Bia. 412-499-5000. Let us know where you're listening from. We'll big up your wins. I'm your host, Dr. Kenya, Oscar Ridoli. Broadcasting from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Fire! The legendary fella Kuti. Teacher, don't teach me nonsense. This is from the album Finding Fella. Taking you all down to the African roots of great music. It's what we call Hip Life. The origins of Afro beats. Thank you.
all the wahala, all the problems, all the things we would think say you could do for this world. It is start when the teacher, schoolboy and schoolgirl jam together. Who be teacher? I go let you know. Who be teacher? I go let you know. Who be teacher? I go let you know.
Democracy,
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 democracy. demonstration of grace.
Democracy.
Crazy demonstration.
Democracy.
If it no be grace,
democracy.
Why for Africa?
Democracy.
As time they go,
democracy.
Things just they bad.
Democracy.
They bad more and more.
Democracy.
Poor man they cry.
Democracy.
Rich man they mess.
Democracy.
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 Crazy demo.
Democracy.
Demonstration of grace.
Democracy.
Crazy demonstration.
Democracy.
If good to teacher teaches something and the student make mistake, teacher must talk so, but do Igbo not talk so. I support them, they support them. Please don't say them teaching get meaning. Different, different meaning. Different, different kinds of meaning. That is why I say that is the reason of my song. That is the conclude of my song. I say, I sing, I beg everyone to join my song. I say, I sing, I beg everyone to join my song. I say, I sing, I beg everyone to join my song.
Teacher, teacher, oh, that been a lecture, I'll be your name.
Taking you to some Rumba, Central Africa in the house. Songs called Masu, Franco.
Lucky.